Well, hello, everybody. Later in this episode, I will say that our promo code for Home Field Apparel is Tortilla Something. I'm a dummy. I'm an idiot. It is TAKES12. Use our promo code TAKES12, TAKES12, for the greatest and most comfortable t-shirts you can have from homefieldapparel.com. And I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing this for you, too. Get 15% off that first order. Again, it is TAKES12, TAKES12. Let's get right into it.
Cheryl Smoot writing and rewriting history. First ever national title for Texas Tech.
Jonathan Garibay, the boot is away. And it's gone!
Welcome one, welcome all to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. You are on once again with your boy, I'll be sure. And it's been a couple weeks. We were gone spring break, living it up last week. Not really. We're old. We were just busy. But we're back to talk Texas Tech basketball, both men and women. This is probably going to be the last episode we have talking solely about basketball for a while because, you know, we're in the offseason now. We're in the offseason now, we can turn our attention to spring football, to the track team. That the track team is doing amazing right now. They transition to the outside season. Tennis just had a nice big win as they had. I didn't even know tennis did locker room celebrations, but they do, and so that's another thing there. But basketball's been in a whirl spin, and to talk about both the men and women's basketball teams, I got the people's champ himself, Jeremy Gillen. What's up, Jeremy?
What's up, Albie? And you know what? Let's not forget to give a lot of props to our Texas Tech softball team, who's been posting up a supreme season so far. They just took a triple L in Austin, but that's tough against, you know, probably one of the best teams. The best teams are in Oklahoma, but one of the best teams in Texas, which is ranked number 8th right now. They made it fun. I mean, 2-3 loss on Friday and a 3-4 loss on Saturday, and then the three to eight loss was the only one that felt like, yeah, that one really hurt. The other ones were really close and exciting. But right now, softball sitting at, you know, 26-11, looking pretty good with 3 top 25 wins.
Yeah, softball's doing much better than expected. Remember, they have a first year head coach this year as well. Baseball also doing better than expected. Until they took a triple L against Texas this past, and not a good Texas team either. Like the baseball side, we were the favorites. We were the favorites, and unlike last year where we went up against, I think at the time Texas was the number one team in the nation and won that series. This year, a bit of an embarrassing weekend for the baseball team, but luckily, Texas fans couldn't gloat too much because they got beat in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and was not able to, you know, they're buying up tickets, Jeremy. We're going to go down to Houston, win us a natty. And Miami said, hold on now, not so fast. But they did end up hiring Rodney Terry to be their, or let me rephrase, reports are that they're going to hire Rodney Terry. So that kind of, if that does happen, it looks like it's going to happen. We'll take him off the list. And it sounds like, Jeremy, we might have a coach too. Grant McCasland, that's reporting towards him being the next Texas Tech men's head basketball coach. It's not Ulrich Maligi, the guy that I've been pumping for, right? It's not Rodney Terry. It's not James Borrego, the former Charlotte Hornets head coach. It was another name that's been pumped
it's
out
not
there.
That old guy? Lately.
Rick Pitino. It's not Rick Pitino, right? Grant McCasland seems to be the pick, the choice. So what are your thoughts to hearing that it is right now full steam ahead towards the Grant McCasland train?
You know, Grant McCasland's kind of like a boxed wine for me right now. At first, it just doesn't sound that great. First couple of sips, I'm like, you know, it could have gotten something better. But the more we sip on it, Albie, the more wonderful it becomes. That alcohol really starts to set in. Honestly, as I kind of said on this McCasland pick, if it does end up being the case,
real quick, what type of boxed wine does he feel? Does he feel like Franzia? Because that's bad.
No,
black box,
the Boda box, yeah, Boda boxes, yeah, the ones that have the wine enthusiast label on it that it's supposed to mean something. The longer I sit with it, and the longer I kind of get little nuggets here and there on Twitter and then in various articles, I'm excited about the upside of McCaslin. I think there's a lot of narratives that we just haven't really discovered, you know, as Tech fans. He's not this big flashy hire. He's not coming from another P5. He's coming from UNT, you know, a college that Denton, Texas, Mean Green, really nothing nothing fancy or fabulous about him. But, I mean, he's been working really hard in, during his time at UNT. I mean, right now in five seasons, 104-58, really not that flashy. But something people have pointed out is that each year McCaslin has been there, he's created like a star point guard, a star guy, who has ended up transferring to a Power 5 team, who's ended up transferring out of UNT. And then he's got a star all over. So he creates another star guy. And then guess what that guy does? He gets picked up by another Power 5 team. And so what does McCaslin have to do? He has to create another star five. And so for multiple years in a row, McCaslin is like developed talent. So much so that teams at the higher end of the spectrum are saying, oh, that guy's good. Let's bring him in. Let's bring the transfer in. And, you know, don't knock that he's won three straight Conference USA titles. Their first NCAA tournament victory. They gave him the first NIT victory. Most single season victories. You know, he's got some reputation behind him. McCaslin works very hard for what he's got. And so I have no doubt now that McCaslin will not take this for granted. You know, very much in like that prime beard era, I'm coming out of those, that mid-level, and I've got that fight, I've got that hunger. I want to like develop talent and maximize what we have. Like that's what McCaslin's going to bring to the table. And so there's some excitement there. Like I feel a little bit of excitement there. I'm just kind of, my focus now is, you know, what is he going to do with the locker room now? And where does he want to take the locker room in the future? But I will say this. I was listening to Tech Talk here in Lubbock, and they brought up something, you know, that sucks, but it's really true. It's not McCaslin's responsibility to recruit the guys that are on the team. Like, if they want to go, they can go. It's their choice at this point. Do they want to stay or go with McCaslin if he is the guy? Like, it's not up to McCaslin to say, hey, I'm going to win you over. Like, McCaslin is going to want who he wants going forward. He bears no responsibility with like the old guys in the locker room now. Like, you know, it's just going to come down to them, and there's nothing we can do about that. So I got to, but what I'm saying is I got to let go of my expectations of McCaslin coming in and trying to win these guys over with shrink wrapped gift bags. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I yes and no, right? Like, I think it's not a requirement that he has to keep the players on the team, on the current roster. I do agree on that aspect, right? If he comes in, and it happens all the time, you see it a lot in football, right? Where a coach comes in and sees like half the roster and is like, nah, there's, think about Deion Sanders. That's just a good example, right? We've all seen that thing, and everybody had their opinions of him walking into a conference room auditorium full of football players and telling them that, hey, most of y'all ain't cut out for what I'm trying to do here. Right, and y'all need to go ahead and hit the transfer portal because a lot of y'all ain't gonna make it, and you know, a lot of people felt type of way about that, and so we see it a lot of times in football where a coach will come in and say, nah, y'all aren't good enough for what I'm trying to do, or you don't fit my program, or you don't fit my model. We've had football players talk to our podcast, talk to Jeremy and I, talk saying, well, I hated, you know, Coach X because of this, because you know he came in and told us this, and we left. So like, on that aspect, I do agree. On the other aspect, though, the first recruiting job a coach has to do is recruit the players in-house that he wants to keep, right? If you come in and you see a player like Jalen Tyson and you say, man, he's a baller, he fits everything I'm trying to do, your first job as a coach is recruiting him to stay, right? And so that was Mark Adams' first job as coach after the whole beard debacle, was recruiting Terrence Shannon and Kevin McCullough to stay. Now, he didn't recruit it 2 years in a row because he left the year after. But on that end, I get that he's not required to keep everybody here. But if he sees somebody that he feels like was part of his plan, that is the first job as a new head coach, is to recruit them to have them stay. I will say with Grant McCaslin, fun little tidbit. So North Texas, UNT, has won 20 games only 13 times, in their 68-year history. They only won 20 games 13 times. Of those 13 times, Grant McCaslin is responsible for 5 of them. They've only won 25 games twice. That is last year and this year. That's it In their 68-year history, they've only done it last year and this year. This year, 29 wins, the most wins in North Texas history. And the reason why is because Grant McCaslin's style, which a lot of Tech fans are complaining about, it's boring. The offense is boring. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The offense is boring. It's slow. It's methodical. There's been a lot of questions as to, well, maybe it's because of the personnel that he has. You know, him being a mid-major, he's just trying to find over different advantages, yada, yada, yada. Listen, it's from what I've seen from North Texas, they are boring. They are slow. Guess what we've had to deal with for the last 6-8 years? Slow, boring, methodical offense. It hasn't been pretty, but this is the greatest stretch of Texas Tech basketball in our history.
Yeah. Guess what got you to the championship?
Exactly. If any fan base is equipped to handle a slow, boring, methodical offense that win games, it's Texas Tech, right? Like, I found the discourse kind of interesting because we were making fun of Texas fans last year not liking Beard Ball, right? Last year, Texas fans said we didn't like Beard Ball because it's slow, it's boring. Meanwhile, last year was one of the better years in Texas basketball recent history. This year, they went to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2005, I believe it was. With now, though, the offense was a little bit better thanks to Rodney Terry. It's still not like the best basketball in the world, right? And so I think with Grant McCaslin, and he was part of the original three we talked about a few weeks back, of the guys that I'd be okay with, and Grant McCaslin was one of them. If this does end up being the hire, I'm okay. I'm good with it because I think it gives us a really high floor. I mentioned this in our group chat the other day, Jeremy. I think Grant McCaslin gives us a very high floor because of his defense. If that defense translates over like it should. That defense is going to keep us in every single game we play. It's how it was. Even when we had Tubby Smith here and we were rebuilding, one of the reasons why we were in every game was because that Tubby Smith defense was really good. So even when the offense was struggling, no matter who we were playing, even when we were playing Joel Embiid and Andrew Wiggins, Kansas, we only lost them by a point because the defense was so good and was able to contain them. And so with Grant McCaslin, we'll be in every single game because of that defense. Now, flip side of that, and as Tech fans, we know, if the offense is susceptible, you're also letting the other team in every single game, right? But I do think that our floor is, at the very least, with Grant McCaslin, getting the quality players that he should be able to get, we're looking at a bubble team. Now, the question is, how high is the ceiling, right? How good of a coach can he be? And that's what I don't know. That's what I question. I don't know if we're gonna be back to where we were just a season ago, where we were legitimately a national title contender. We were a Sweet 16 team that pushed a Duke team to the brink, right? Like, are we able to get back to that? Are we able to get back to 2019? We're in the national championship game with Grant McCaslin. That I can't answer. But what I can answer is I think Grant McCaslin as a coach will have us gunning for an NCAA tournament every single year.
I don't hate that. I mean, and when you did mention it that we would have much higher floor, that should be a very calming sentiment for Texas Tech fans who have, I mean, this season, golly, you make it halfway through the conference and you think we'll never play good basketball again. That at least you'll get a little bit more consistency. And hey, the guy is under 50. He's whatever Kinsey's requirement was. And this, you know, he seems to tick all the marks. And though he may seem the safe hire, like maybe the safe hire is what we need. Safe hire that's not like a Texas Tech lineage or not Luke Adams or something, you know.
Technically, McCaslin has a little bit of lineage if you count when he was the director of player development as he at least knows Lubbock a little bit, lived in Lubbock for a little while, recruited DFW. Right? Which is actually something that Mark Adams and Chris Beard's tenure didn't really do. They made Tech more of a national brand. If you think about all the players that came to Tech, a lot of them were not from the Dallas area, right? Terrence Shannon was from Chicago. Namari Burnett was from the South, right? Like, not Texas, I should say. Like, a lot of these players were from outside of Texas. I want to say, as far as recent recruits, like, McCullough, of course, was from the Dallas area. And Tyson was from Texas, but like a lot of the other players that we've grabbed prior to this year, especially during the Beard years, were not from Texas. So McCaslin kind of, I think, puts that footprint back into the Texas area a little bit, knows the area some more. I'm not mad at the hire. Is it an exciting hire? Is it something that's going to get us all pumped? No, but I do think that this is a hire that we can kind of get behind a little bit, and it is the safe hire, but it's not safe hires are not the bad hire. They're not the wrong hire at all. So, but with that, because it's a safe hire, I don't know if McCasland will have the leeway. Right, I don't think his leash is not going to be as long as some other ones. This fan base is ready to win, like, quickly. So, so McCasland, and with in the age of NIL, right? I don't know if McCasland is going to have a year of a rebuild or 2 years. Right, like, I think McCasland is going to be required right from the get go. You better be competing for. You better be in the tourney, boy. Like, I think that's really how it's going to be for him. Unfortunately, I think that's just the landscape of college basketball right now. Rebuilds aren't a thing anymore.
That's super scary. For a first-year head coach at the, you know, at the level of Big 12 basketball, I do agree. I think that's got to be kind of a – you need to understand the landscape that you're walking into, as well as the ever-developing landscape of the NIL. But, man, that sucks. What pressure to come in and be like, hey, welcome to these world-class facilities. We all love you here. If you win – we'll build you a statue, buddy. But if you don't make the frickin' tournament, let me tell you something.
Yeah. Well, so with that, I do think there has been some trepidation on him because he's, quote-unquote, only made the tournament one time at UNT. And I do think that's not fair. Can I just say, in the 6 years that he was there, the one time that he made the tournament was his fewest wins that season. He went 18-10 that year. And that's the year he made the tournament. It's a one-bid league. And so I think holding coaches in a one-bid league to that requirement, that you have to make the tournament in order for us to grab, it's a little much, right? Because it's a one-bid league. It's in the Big 12, if you go 29-7, not only – it doesn't matter that you didn't win your conference tournament. You're going to be – you're a one seed. Or at least a top three seed for sure, right? And so, like, that – I think that requirement that, oh, well, he's only made the tournament one time is a bit much. He has been in the postseason, I believe, every single year he was at UNT. It's just not always the NCAA. Well, it's 5 out of 6 times it wasn't the NCAA tournament. But he, at the very least, made a postseason at North Texas every single year he was there. And that alone, I mean, his first year made a long run to the CBI, I think CBI finals. So, like, it's I think when it comes to these mid-majors, you don't just look at how many times they went to the NCAA tournament. You look at what was their full season, what was the season capabilities, and we'll find out at Tech just if he's a good tournament coach, because I don't really doubt that we'll make the tournament. It's just, you know, what's our seeding? Will he be able to make a run? Will we be, if we're a 9 seed, can we make that FAU run to get to the Final Four as a 9 seed? You know, then we'll find out just how good of a tourney coach he is. And I think that's what scares boosters, that's what scares fans, that's why a lot of the fans wanted a quote-unquote proven coach. Because, you know, Rick Pitino knows how to coach in the tourney. He's done it. He knows how to do it. Even Beer, before he got here, at the very least, won a tournament game. Right? Tubby knew how to coach in the tournament. So it's one of those things where the last few coaches that you grabbed all had some bit of experience coaching in the tournament. And so a lot of the boosters wanted that again. Like, okay, well, let's get somebody that knows what they're doing in the tournament again. With McCasland, we don't know how he's – I mean, he's been in the tournament one time, so we don't really know if he has the capabilities of doing so. But you got to – you know, we'll find out when he does.
We'll find out when he does. And I think that right now, in my mind, I'm like, hey, we can't be trying this slingshot strategy of, like, let's just get another coach in here who's just going to fill the role and magically launch us to the moon. I think that, you know – finding a guy who can build players up, that can, you know, develop people, develop schema, and play good hard-nosed basketball is what's going to end up building a winning resume. But, you know, Tech fans are just like, hey, we were there before, so we should be there every year. It doesn't make sense why we're not.
Every year.
Every year.
Every year.
What's a rebuild?
That's right. I will say a requirement, if I'm a booster, if I have millions and millions of dollars and I was a booster – one thing that should get at least fans in the booth excited, he did just beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he, with North Texas, a team that's not as good as Tech, Oklahoma State in Stillwater.
Yep.
In Stillwater. So, they Tuesday evening, they do play at Wisconsin. Our neutral site, sorry. In Wisconsin. So, we'll see what, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll leave UNT with the NIT championship. On his way out. So So that's exciting in itself. So yeah, Grant, all signs point to Grant McCaslin. That's what the report is. It's not official yet. Who knows? Maybe, it sounds like they're just waiting for him to not play in the NIT anymore to make it official. But it's not official yet, so who knows? But as of right now, it does seem like Grant McCaslin is the guy. Jeremy, on the women's side, ain't no question who the person is, who the coach is. And that's Krista Gerlich. No question. Coach Gerlich's on her third year, just wrapped up her third season as the coach of the Texas Tech Lady Raiders. No doubt the best season that Tech has had since 2013. An absolute fantastic. Really, you know, we've been talking about the rebuild. We said her first year here was really year zero. Wasn't fair to her after the whole Stallings debacle. Then we had kind of that rebuild year last year, really starting it and kind of starting anew, getting new recruits in, having players that bought into our system. Then we had this year. This year was really a question of is the launching point. This is now we can start to see real improvement. Beginning of the year, we said, okay, well, this team should show some improvement. We did lose our best player last year, and I made the notion of just getting to any postseason doesn't matter which one. Well, Jeremy, they got into a postseason, and then they got into the postseason, and we said, just make it to the Super 16. Just make it there, and then Kumbaya will be happy. And guess what, Jeremy? They made it to the Super 16. You know? Now, they lost to Arkansas in Arkansas, but it was a tough-fought battle. They played really well. I cannot be more proud of the team. I wish they would have moved on, but this is a team, they were getting spanked early in the first quarter, Jeremy. They were getting whooped. And, what was it? At one point, the score was 15-0 to start the game. And I'll say this, I mean, you know, Tech outscored Arkansas from that point on by 10. It's just, you can't give up 15 points to start a game and still expect to win. So that's really what happened there. But, I thought Tech played well, played really, you know, had a good start to the season. And now we start the off season where we are losing quite a bit of seniors, right? Like, Bree Scott is gone. Big Cat is going to be gone. Tayton Weidenheimer is going to be, you know, it's going to be gone. Coach Weidenheimer, I did find out so she's going to be Coach Weidenheimer soon. That's her, you know, her
ministry. We called it, man.
Go right into, yeah, that didn't, her and Bryn Gerlich will also be, have played her final game. Those two are both going to be easily be coaches. I wouldn't be surprised if Bryn Gerlich's on the staff next year. Like, it really wouldn't surprise me at all. But good senior class here. A lot of leadership. Bree Scott ended her basketball playing career with 28-7 because she just got it like that.
She got it.
Yeah, Bailey Maupin, not the best game against Arkansas, but, you know, as somebody who's struggling with injuries this year, the first two games in the NIT, Maupin's back. She looked healthy for the first time in like 2 months. She looked healthy, and it's bittersweet that the seniors are going to be gone, but they definitely left something for the future. The sky's the limit for this team going forward, man. I'm excited.
I'm disgusted you didn't say she was mopping it up.
I'm never going to say that.
Don't worry. I got you, man. I got you. hey, yeah, so you go into the NIT. You finish your season pretty rough, right? You get a loss 76-52 to Iowa State, and then you have a 79-69 to Kansas State. And then you move to the NIT. You get to the NIT. That's the biggest win, right? We get into the NIT, and then we were saying, all right, let's get – you know, this is a team, now that we're out of the Big 12, this is a team that has the ability to, like, let's get to the Super 16. This would be a big win, and they did. And so UTEP, great 67-54 win. Like I said, Maupin led the way with 17 points. SMU, I was fortunate enough to get to go to that game. 61-49 win, dominating. Everyone was dominating. Maupin, 21 points. And then on the road in Fayetteville, which I felt that game had a lot of really weird calls in it. I just, from an officiating standpoint, like, that was just a lot of weird calls. It felt pretty soft. And you end up losing that one 71-66. Maupin, non-existent. Bree Scott doing her thing, 28 points. Too many, I think, you know, Texas Tech had everything in their arsenal at the end to win that game, but too many decisions for three-pointers, too many hastily taken three-pointers that didn't go in, ended up just creating second-chance points, or ended up creating transition points for Arkansas. But you got to be happy with, like you said, you know, looking forward, you know, you got a lot of really great Lady Raiders on this team in Kyla Freelon. You know, Ashley Chevalier was starting to get healthy there at the end. She was starting to look good in her tournament games. JoJo Nwori, we didn't even see her, right? We didn't really see her. So she was supposed to be a big part of this team. Now she's going to have a chance to fully recover and practice. You got Jasmine Shavers, who showed a lot of potential throughout the year. And then Saga Ukkonen. But Saga, you know, coming in at the end of the season in the tournament, had some impressive play. But not only that, you got a couple of freshmen coming in, right? You got three freshmen coming in. And, oh, golly, I had a list somewhere. Where'd it go? You got a couple freshmen coming in. Logan Johnson, of course. And then, golly, I cannot remember the other two. Anyways. Yeah. Anyways, sorry I don't have these in front of me. But that leaves you with two people to transfer. And there's a bunch of really good transfers out there. A bunch of people entered the transfer portal from, you know, teams across the board. That if you're coach, you know, if you're Coach Gerlich, you got a lot of youth in this team, a lot of seniors departing. Might be a good idea to pick up some talented seniors, talented juniors, or super seniors even, to kind of step in and add a little bit of veteranship, a little bit of wins under their belt into this team and kind of boost them forward for sure.
All right, well, like a good team, man, I'm gonna pick you up, Jeremy.
Thank you.
So the three new additions. So Logan Johnson is a pretty big one, straight out the H, right? ESPN top 100 player, definitely one of the best products out. She actually might be playing in. Is she playing in the McDonald's All American game?
Sounds familiar.
She might be, but. But yeah, no, Logan Johnson's one of the best recruits coming into the Big 12 next year. Huge recruit, huge get. So we also have Akol Mago, and I'm sure I'm not saying that correctly. I'm positive.
No, that sounds 100% right.
That's just
Shabo Mago.
Listen, Mago, if you're listening, Magat Mago, if you're listening, please come on the pod. Tell me how dumb I am. But Mago out from Arizona. And a big thing for her is she is 6'7". She's a tall one.
Oh, yeah.
6'7", good defender. She's a beast. And then Kelly Mora doesn't have to go far, right? Kelly Mora from Lubbock, Monterey, right? Hopefully we get another person from Lubbock, Monterey here in a couple of years.
Yes, but I'll leave that alone.
But Kelly Mora, another good forward, very versatile, and will be able to bring that work from Lubbock to Lubbock. Lubbock Monterey over to Texas Tech. So those are kind of the big three coming in next year. No doubt, I think, especially it may take a little bit for Mago and Mora to blend in and get kind of used to Big 12 play. I think Logan Johnson's going to be similar to Maupin, to where we see her almost immediately. She's a bucket. Like, Logan Johnson is a bucket. And we're gonna need those points to supplement Bree Scott leaving. Right. But I do think, to your point, I mean, Bree Scott may be leaving, but Maupin's still here. Jazz Shavers is still here. Riley McKinney can now move into more of a veteran leadership role. I could easily see Riley McKinney kind of taking over that Bryn Gerlich role of being like the do everything. Like, all right, Bryn Gerlich's not here, then now I got to kind of pick up that slack a little bit and do it all here. And I kind of think, man, I'm excited to see what Jazz Shavers does next year. Yeah, Jazz Shavers is the one that I think says, all right, Bree, I'll take your torch. I'll take your baton. Let's get these buckets. She's a coach's daughter, right? Knows the game. We've seen flashes this year, and I think this year she kind of takes it on. You mentioned Ashley Chevalier. She started coming on a little bit more towards the end of the game. And then Ukkonen and McKinney, I think, really need to be the shooters for this team with Scott leaving, right? Start knocking them down. They're the veterans. But, you know, part of me is like Jazz Shavers, Logan Johnson, they're the buckets. Kyla Freelon's to do everything. Riley McKinney's that vet. And then JoJo Nwori. We need that big in the middle. So I'm excited to see what this team can do next year. Now I think the goal, you made the NIT already. Goal needs to be the tournament. Let's get to the tournament.
Let's do it. Yeah, I think that's a possibility. Let's do it. It's got to feel like a possibility. You have to feel that this offseason, this upcoming year, you have a lot of momentum coming off of that loss. Getting in the tournament, you know, getting as far as you have since 2013, you got a lot of momentum going your way and a lot of really good pieces coming in. And like you said, we have a lot of youth. This is what we kind of complain about, or Kenzie complains about. but this is what we kind of complain about in the chat is that the hard part about NIL, the hard part about a lot of stuff going on is you don't have players. You don't have very many players. Gone are the days where players would come in as a freshman and be there for 4 years. For what many hundred reasons, they may transfer, or they may go to the pros or whatever it is. But you have Maupin here early developing. You have Jazz Schaefer's here early developing. You have Kyler Freelon early developing. Seeing them, you know, grow up, and they're playing so well already, getting coached in the way they are, you know, having more talented players come in, kind of got a really good team building here. So the tournament feels a lot more achievable. And especially if you look at the way a lot of the games this year played out, there's a lot of games, there's a lot of wins you left on the schedule. And so got to feel optimistic about your chances coming into next season, even with everybody that you're losing, even with that.
Yeah, I mean, so one thing to that point, Tech, we really haven't had our stars stay, right? Like, Bree Scott was a transfer. Bryn Gerlich was a transfer. Viv Gray was a transfer. Taylor Thomas was a transfer. Like, they're all transferred in. And so now with the whole Stallings thing, that was a big reason why we saw so many people transfer out previously, no matter how good or bad they were. We saw a lot of people like Lexi Gordon. Lexi Gordon was great. She transferred out to Duke. Krystlyn Carr transferred out. Like, so we saw this happen. So we haven't really had that continuity. But I will say, with Coach Gerlich, Riley McKinney is going to go into her third year next year, right? We're seeing a lot of these players stay. Ukonin staying. Even despite Ukonin, we might have sat on the men's side, her leave because she's not really getting the playing time that she might have hoped, but she stayed, right? So we have – Gerlich kind of came, had an influx of transfers that kind of came in. I actually think and I could be wrong, but I think all of the seniors that played the last games for Tech were all transfers. Tatum Weidenheimer was also a transfer. But now I think we are seeing, hopefully, now more continuity. Now some of those high school recruits that Coach Gerlich brought in, they're not leaving. They're staying here. They're good to go. And so hopefully we get that, we have that continuity going. And that same thing goes on the men's side as well. I think when it comes to, there's a lot of frustration with all the players. I mean, so who put up the stat the other day that of the amount of former Red Raiders that were in the men's NCAA tournament? Like, it was, I mean, one, Vlad Golden is still playing. Vlad Golden, he's still playing for FAU. So many guys that were Namari Burnett, right? Agbo. So many guys that were once Red Raiders, no longer, while we're sitting at home, they're getting a chance to play. And you can chalk it up to possibly the fact that Coach Beard left. You could chalk it up to, you know, them not wanting to play with Adams. But hell, a guy like Namari Burnett, he transferred before Beard left, right? So it's not just that. It's just we haven't had gotten a really good opportunity to have people or players stay for all 4 years. Actually, I think Kevin McCullough, had he stayed this year, would have been the first one in a while to stay from the very beginning to the very end. So that's kind of, you know, it's new. And you can chalk it up to the land of NIL. You can chalk it up to those things. But it's also not a problem that Kansas and Baylor are really dealing with. I mean, Kansas and Baylor, for right now, a lot of their players are either staying or going to the NBA. Right? Like, that's we're just not having that same luxury. Outside of a few of our players, we've had a couple that left early for the NBA, and God bless them for it. But a lot of them are not staying the 4 years. They're transferring out for whatever reason. And mind you, Terrence Shannon and McKevin McCullough both have their reasons for transferring. And so I don't knock that, but I do think that having that continuity at coach, a young coach like Grant McCaslin, hopefully he does find that success and he can bring that continuity that he's been able to have. You did mention the fact that a lot of those guards that he's had has found success under McCaslin's style and they've went on to greener pastures. Well, at Tech, you know, if we're playing the way we should be, there's not going to be too many greener pastures in Texas Tech, right? And so that's kind of the idea, is that if we're successful, if we're winning games and you're looking good while doing it, the greener pasture for you is the NBA, and all power to you. But it shouldn't be Illinois.
Yeah, oh, right? Yeah, God.
So that's basketball. That's how our season's going to end. That's how the cookie crumbles on the basketball season. Both teams are now into the offseason. We have seen on the men's side some players enter the transfer portal, the latest one being Elijah Fisher. No surprise there.
No, I thought he'd be the first.
Yeah, no surprise there at all for Elijah Fisher transferring from Tech. So far, though, I will say, not as many transfers as we expected. I think a lot of the transfers have been guys we would have... No, I will say this. No surprise transfers, I think. Nobody's really entered the transfer portal that we didn't already suspect would enter the transfer portal. Right? Like, we knew Fardaw's AMAC wasn't really a big surprise. KJ Adams wasn't really a big surprise seeing them transfer. We have kind of gotten affirmance from Pop Isaacs, from Jalen Tyson, that there are R4L. So we'll see. You know, it's a long off season, so we'll see if that sticks as we get our new head coach here. But, other guys, to be on the lookout for, to see what they do, is really, I think, the ones that you have an eye out for, Jeremy. Lamar Washington and Robert Jennings. I think those are the two that everybody wants to see. Demarion Williams also has eligibility, so he may stay another year. But I think the main two, outside of Pop Isaacs and Jalen Tyson, of course, that everyone is questioning, will they stay, is the young guns, Robert Jennings and Lamar Washington, the other two freshmen, right? If Kerwin, I am kind of excited to see what Kerwin Walton and Demarion Williams would do as guys that were supposed to be shooters for our team that didn't really get the chance to play a lot this year as the shooters for our team. You know, who knows? Maybe a new coach unlocks that in them. But Bacho is another one. A question of, he hasn't – I think everybody's on pins and needles to see what he does.
Yeah.
Whether does he transfer? Does he stay? What does he do? But we'll see. Well, and I think they're all waiting to see who the new coach is. What does the new coach want? Right? We'll see what happens for now. And then technically everybody that's entered the transfer portal could theoretically come back. I know that Elijah Fisher, that's one of the things that he said, that though he's entered the transfer portal, Tech is still one of his options. I think KJ Allen said the same. I said Adams, but KJ Allen said the same thing, that he could always come back as well. So we'll see. Everybody's waiting to see who the new coach is, what the new coach does. I will say it is usually very unlikely for somebody to enter the transfer portal and come back. So once you enter, you're probably gone. But yeah, so we'll see. Jeremy, anything else you want to say to the people?
Exciting times. I mean, we'll see. It's just got to be your position. You need to act poor here, right? Just be thankful for anything you get. We get McCaslin, that's a huge win. We have a head coach again, what a win. If you don't have any more transfers after he's announced head coach, that's a huge win. But it's also really exciting because, if you do have people transfer out, that does leave open spots where people can come in. And that's how we got people like Adonis Arms. That's how we get people like Matt Mooney. That's how we get people who are hungry to play and want to play for a program like this. And if you put a hungry coach and a hungry player together, you can usually, a lot of magic can happen from that. So this could be a really good year for Tech basketball coming up. At least exciting.
Hey, man, the last coach that was a Baylor assistant has done pretty well for himself in his first year.
Who's that?
Joe McGuire has done well for himself. So who knows? If Grant McCaslin can take that experience that he's got from Scott Drew, he's behind Scott Drew for a while, right? If he can take some of that and find some success with that, then I'm happy. I'm all for him. So we'll see with that. Grant McCaslin, and I said he went to the CBI finals. I was wrong. He won the CBI championship. So he does know how to coach in a tournament, Jeremy. Does know how to coach in a tournament. He's also made the Division II Elite Eight twice.
How about it?
So how about that?
How about it?
With good old Midwestern State. So he knows West Texas, Midwestern State, from Wichita Falls. He knows West Texas.
It's now an extension of Texas Tech, so there's the connection.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
He was coaching in the Tech system before it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. So anything I want to say is go out, and get you some home field apparel swag. You already missed out on the secret box. They were doing a nice little secret box challenge where you basically get a new shirt for every round of the tournament. Unfortunately, you already missed out on that, but that doesn't mean you can't make some great stuff over at Home Field Apparel. Go out and get all types of Final Four gear. Get you some San Diego State stuff. Get you some Florida Miami Atlantic stuff. They just beat Texas.
Yep.
Florida Atlantic, Connecticut, get it all. Jeremy, I was actually at the last national championship game where Connecticut won. I had Shabazz Napier. He put on a show. It was in Jerry World in Arlington and back in 2013. It was a great time. 2014. It was a great time. Fun time. UConn back in it. Who's your pick for the Final Four?
Oh, I mean, Florida Atlantic. Ride the hot hand, man.
Who's really your pick for the Final Four?
You know, I think Miami showed a lot of grit there at the end. you know, honestly, I don't care. This is the best Final Four collection I've seen, because it's like nobody I'd be really upset that they won, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Like, go for it, man. That's fair. Go for it.
That's fair. I like Jim Larrañaga, man. I like Jim Larrañaga.
Good choice.
I think Connecticut's gonna win. Yeah. But I kind of agree with you that I'm all for Miami. Miami doing it. Because Jim Leonard, man, he's just a fun old guy. Remember when he took George Mason? He took George Mason to the Final Four. It was all fun. It's all a party. Like, now he's doing fun. It with Miami. Yeah. Good for him.
It's a game.
Yeah, Coach Larrañaga, I hope you love it. Now, don't leave Miami. I know, like, if North Carolina comes calling because they're going to fire Hubert Davis, don't go over there. Stay with Miami.
It's Miami of all places. Come on.
Exactly. Also, use our promo code TORTILLAS15 at Home Field Apparel. I forgot to mention that earlier. Just do it. So, for Jeremy Gillen, the People's Champ, and Florida Atlantic's number 5 fan, this is I'll Be Short, and you have been listening to the Tortillas and Takes podcast, part of the 1012 Network, and the official podcast for Red Raider Sports. As always, stay wrecked, people. I could end the recording. You know, we didn't do a... are we doing a cold open for all of our episodes? Or just whenever it feels non-forced?
Whenever it happens. Are you going to force a cold open here at the very end?
No, I mean, no. I just haven't ended the recording yet. That's all it is.
That's the most awkward part of it. Because I wanted to... Just sitting here watching it tick away.
All right, well, I'll end it.
Okay.